Bible's day to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. My thought today is in the form of a question. Mother, what's in your house? Mother, what's in your house? I want us to look at chapter 4. We recognize the background for that question in verse 2. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door unto thee and upon thy sons, shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and that live thou and the children of the rest. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today for this wonderful day, for the fond memories that so many of us have of our mothers who we no longer have, but we know where our mother is. We thank you today for that glorious hope. Now, Father, I pray today that this day will be a very special day in all respects to every mother that's here. I pray that you'd see fit to honor the spoken word today. May it meet a need today in hearts and lives. I pray that every person today will be blessed and helped, and Father, especially those today that wear that honored title, Mother. So bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The question is actually in this chapter, what's in your house? I'm paraphrasing a little bit to say, Mother, what's in your house? This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture has to do with a mother. This particular mother was honored. This particular mother was blessed in a very unusual way. This particular mother is one that stands out as an example that many of us can look at, and especially mothers can look at and see such a great model. Elisha asked this poor widow and mother two questions. Two questions which prove valuable in the end. Because the mother that pondered those two questions was helped by pondering those questions. Questions can be valuable when we are forced to evaluate our resources and brings us to our knees before God. And I think of another question one time asked to Moses. God asked Moses, What's in your hand? What's in your hand? And that question had profound implications, which I'll not get into today. But questions are valuable. The question here, Mother, what's in your house? We know from the context what that question was all about, because the portion of Scripture deals with it. Now, what if this mother would have ignored the question? What if this mother would have pretended that she had adequate resources? What if this mother would have simply ignored the thought and just gone on her way? Well, we know what would have happened. Her family could have starved to death. Her children could have been taken and become slaves of someone else. So it would have been terrible. Terrible things would have happened if this woman had not been asked that question, and the question itself would lead to a good result. Her husband had died with an unpaid debt. The creditor came to collect. The law at that time allowed for the creditor to take the children as servants. So the woman could literally have lost her children to become servants to the creditor. She literally had reached the end of her rope. She was trapped. Literally, she was trapped. I heard of a cute story one time of a little toddler age boy who, what he did, he pulled a chair, took a chair, pulled it over to the front of the window in his house. He carefully placed the chair within the drapes. He was standing there, staring out the window, staring out at the world outside the house, when his mother came looking for him. She spied his little white legs down below the curtains, and she got to where he was just in time to hear that little guy say, "I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here." What mother hasn't felt that from time to time? "I've got to get out of here." Here we see a mother that was in a strait. This mother, she had reached the end of her resources. She did not know what to do or where to turn in her pain, in her poverty. But she did the one thing that, praise God, when any one of us will do, it'll always be the right decision. She turned to the Lord. That's what she did. When she did that, God came through in a very big way. She turned to the Lord because she told this man of God, Elisha, her situation, and she recognized him as a man of God, so she was turning to the Lord. She had spiritual discernment. That's the first thing I'd note. She had spiritual discernment. She knew where to turn. She didn't turn to her family. She didn't turn to her friends. She didn't turn to her kids because they couldn't help her really at this point of time. So she turned to the Lord. She had spiritual discernment. Thank God today when people have that kind of spiritual discernment. "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee," the Old Testament says. She turned to the Lord. She was down and out, but that turned out to be to her advantage. Do you know that? She was down and out, but it turned out to be to her advantage. She didn't have much, but she did have something, and she knew where to begin with what she had. She was down to just a little bit of oil. That certainly wasn't much, but we've read the rest of the story, haven't we? We know what happened to that little bunch of oil that she had. She had to assist before she could be assisted. Modern welfare systems today assume that people have nothing. That's how the modern welfare system treats citizens today. It assumes they have nothing. So therefore, just sit back and wait for the check. That's how modern welfare systems work. Now, the prophet didn't just drop a big check at her doorstep. This woman had to do something. She didn't have but a little bit of oil. But she knew what to do. She sent her sons out. They go out in the neighborhood. They start borrowing all the empty containers they possibly can. They bring those containers back to where she was. She takes that little bit of oil that she has. She starts pouring that oil in those containers. And that oil just kept on flowing. It kept on flowing. One container got full. She kept pouring into the other one. That got full. She kept pouring and pouring and pouring. I can imagine that woman would still be pouring oil in containers if she had a lot more. Could you imagine? There's nothing in the Bible that would cause us to think that if she had had 100 empty containers, every single one of those containers would have been full. It's just like Jesus that time in the New Testament. They bring that little lad's lunch to him. He starts breaking that little lunch, and it multiplies in his hands. Then he gives it out to the disciples, and the disciples start distributing the food to the people that were seated there that day upon the ground, and they all got fed. And there were 12 basketfuls left over when they got through. That's the same thing we see here. It's a miracle, in case you didn't catch it. pouring the oil into containers. But the containers kept filling up. Her background became a workshop in the hands of God to teach her valuable lessons on faith, trusting God, and see God work. She had spiritual discernment. She was down and out. She was distressed. We see her sorrow. She was a preacher's wife. She was married to a prophet. It doesn't seem right, though. Some people would say that doesn't seem right. She's married to a prophet. She's in the ministry. Why is she suffering? Why is she going through what she's going through? I mean, after all, she's a woman of God. Well, our world will be a lot better off if we'll quit trying to figure things out and we'll understand that the sun shines on the just and the unjust. It'll help us. Our world will become a lot cheerier if we'll understand that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. And when it's all said and done, when we stand in the presence of God, if God wants to clue us in on all of that, that's His business. But for us, let's just do the right thing, live for the Lord, and trust God. Coming back here to this text, she had just a little bit of oil, a small portion of oil. It wasn't much, but it was valuable. It was still valuable. You know, this is a way today the world many times would evaluate God's people. You know, they look at God's people. They don't see much. But I'll tell you, if they only had the spiritual discernment to understand, to look at a child of God, you're looking at a miracle of grace. You're looking at a great work of God. By the way, could I say today, there's never been anything that God's ever done by way of creation that's ever matched the salvation of a sinner. Nothing is any more profound than that. This world has always discounted what God counts as valuable. This lady witnessed a greater miracle because her means were small. Look what she would have missed if she would have had a lot of oil. She had to be down and out. She had to be practically out of oil for God to use her and God to bless the way He did. Let me say this morning, God many times is more prone to bless those that are out of oil than those that have oil. Because when you're out of oil, you have to trust God more. Amen. She was directed. Directed. The widow and her son were sent out to scour the neighborhood. Borrow all the pots they could. They bring the pots in. They close the door. They took the skimpy amount of oil she had. They began to pour it into the pots. And the oil kept coming. It's probably olive oil. Olive oil was pretty valuable in those days. Precious. Precious in those days. It could easily be marketed. So what was happening, when the pots kept being filled with that olive oil, why, my goodness, she was able to sell that. And that would pay off all of her debts. You know, that's just how God is. When God gives us something, He gives us the best. I mean, she didn't have pots full of linseed oil. She didn't have pots full of castor oil. Boy, I tell you, I remember that castor oil. By the way, now, I want to find out just how old I've gotten. How many of you did your mother used to give castor oil to? How many? Raise your hands. Young people, I want you to look around. I recommend that you go to all these people, just raise their hands and learn how you can get some castor oil. And then I want you to go home and take a whole bottle of it and then tell me later on how you feel. She filled every vessel until the oil well stopped. The increase, here's the point. The increase of her oil was in proportion to her faith. If she would have only known, she'd have said, boys, Thanks for bringing these 10 containers. How about going out and getting 10 more? Or how about going out after they came back, see if you can't get scrounge up 20 more. She received as much oil as her faith, in a sense, would allow. The prophet didn't say there's a cutting off point. He didn't say you can only have so many containers. No, it was open-ended. Every one of them would have been full if they had kept bringing them in. Two men one day went down to the lake trout fishing. They stayed all day fishing. One man had a strange habit. Every time he'd catch a trout, he'd pull out a small ruler. He'd measure the trout, and if the trout was bigger than the ruler, he'd dump it back in the water. Finally, he'd throw the big ones away. He'd only keep the little ones. Finally, his partner couldn't stand it any longer, and his partner said to him, I've watched you all day. You're throwing back the biggest ones. You're keeping the smallest ones. I've never seen a man fish like you fish. You've kept the small ones. You've thrown back the big ones. The man said, sure I did. He said, I had a reason. Man said, well, why did you do that? The man said, because I only have an 8-inch frying pan. The point I want to make this morning is God wants to give us 12-inch blessings, but all we have many times is an 8-inch faith. This miracle that took place was worked behind closed doors, you notice, and in the presence of believers. The world would have marketed the occasion. The world would have made something gigantic that said, my goodness, let's just fill container after container after container, and let's take it out and let's sell it. Let's get rich. The world would have marketed it. But God said, this is secret. Let's close the doors. Let's perform this in the presence of believers who can appreciate what God is doing. And that's a major point. She was delivered too, wasn't she? She had enough oil to pay off her debts and to live on. I see here some great lessons. Great lessons. Let me say today to all of you folks, and you know me pretty well by now, if you'd like to learn a bit more about my background, go back to that little track rack back there, and you'll find a little testimony that I put together. You all know my background. You know I was born in West Virginia. You know I come up simple. And I've got the testimony in print. But here's what I'm saying. I'm glad that I was poor. I'm glad when I look back that I come up the way I came up. I'm glad that I was raised in a coal miner's family. I'm glad that my parents borrowed from the company store or bought our food from the company store. I'm glad for having to do without. I'm even glad when I look back for the time that I had to wear combat boots to school when I was a kid, and they were rubbing my foot, and my mom cut a hole in them to make them more comfortable, but I wore them anyway. I didn't care. I'm trying to say to you this morning that I'll tell you little as much when God gets in it anyway. Amen. And sometimes poverty is the best thing that can happen. If it teaches us to trust God, if it teaches us to appreciate what we do have, if it teaches us to be honest, if it teaches us to love the Lord. Amen. My dad was the hardest worker I ever knew. He worked at everything to feed his family. He had moved jobs, and we'd move with him as his family. In fact, you're going to get a kick out of this. We moved so many times that sometimes when we got ready to move again, we didn't even take the furniture with us. Do you believe that? My dad worked at a marble factory. My dad worked on a garbage truck. My dad was a contractor. My dad was a bricklayer. I could go on and on. He worked in the coal mines. And then he'd come home at night. And we had coal stoves. Wood coal stoves. And I can remember taking him across, he'd take a cross-cut saw and go up on the hillside and cut wood. That's back in the days when that was right after the time trying to think here for a moment. Y'all remember before the blight hit the chestnut trees, the old native chestnut trees, before the blight hit? Well, my dad go up on the hillside and you talking about the best burning wood you'll ever find, that old native chestnut wood. But he'd cut wood at nighttime. He worked hard. My mother worked hard. Sewing clothes, making clothes, using the board, what is it? Scrub board. She raised 8 kids. She did a good job. She didn't do so good on me, of course, but she did a good job primarily. She was a good mom. She lacked in money, but she didn't lack in love. She didn't lack in care. She loved us all. She's like all moms. I consider her perfect, but she's like all moms. She wasn't perfect. No moms are perfect. No dads are perfect. No kids are perfect. None of us are perfect. A little girl one day was looking at her mom, and she said, "Mom," she said, "would you tell me why you've got strands of gray in your hair?" And the mother said, I get that gray hair every time you do wrong." And then a little girl looked up at his mom and said, "Mom, how come grandma's hair then is all white?" I've lived long enough to come to believe that difficult environments can be spiritual training grounds. Happiness is not based on things. Struggling can be developmental. Sometimes good parenting, even when we do the best, it can seem to be a failure. I think of Israel as a vineyard planted on a fruitful hill. The soil was good. The conditions were right. But Israel turned out to be rebellious. I'm saying to all parents today, every human being, including our children, have choices to make. No one is a clone replica of the parent automatically and guaranteed to make the same life choices. Some choices do have lifelong effects. What to do with Christ? Who to marry? Who to run with? And where we train? I want to say to all of you young people today in this church service, you love your mother. You respect your mother. You honor your mother. And you thank God doubly if you happen to have a mother today that knows Christ, that loves the Lord, that prays for you, that takes you to church, that sets an example. You don't realize the rare commodity you have. You'll have choices to make. You can follow her example. You can listen to her, or you can rebel against her. But the day will come, you'll regret the day of your rebellion. You thank God that God led you into the family that has a Christian mother that loves you. And you honor her, and you listen to her, and you stay in church. And don't get brave and cocky when you become a teenager and think you don't need God anymore. You need God as much when you're a teenager as when you were just a little stripling. You serve the Lord like your parents did. We come back to this. This mother, and by the way, we know this. Many people have great parents and grandparents but wind up losers because they don't follow the example of their parents that God would have them to follow. This mother was delivered, wasn't she? She was delivered. She only had a little oil. But guess what? Little is much when God's in it. She was told to borrow empty vessels. She was also instructed to keep it a secret. Let's do this behind closed doors now. I'd point out that the amount of her oil was determined by the number of vessels that she borrowed. This is Mother's Day, we know that. I would challenge all of us today to look at life a little differently. I would challenge all of us today to not only see this as a day to honor moms, but especially to honor the God that your mom serves especially. Mother's Day. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters need to know that all is well between their soul and God. That's what we need the most in life. We need the sheltering of the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. Your mother that brought you into this world, your mother that has nurtured you down through life, your mother that has shed tears over you, your mother that has calmed your fears, put band-aids on your cuts, and soothed your mind and heart many times, deserves your respect and love. And again, I'd say to you, look up to that mom. Be glad you have her. I tell you, there's many of us today no longer have our moms here. Many of us. How many of you have lost your moms? Let me see your hands. Look at this. How many of you have lost your dads? Let me see your hands. Don't we wish we had them back? But you know, we know the other side of the story, though, don't we? We know if they were saved, we wouldn't want them back. But boy, would they like for us to follow in the example that they set. I heard a touching story, and I've got to close shortly. A traveler in Africa came across a place where fire had recently burned. He looked at the charred embers of a nest. And on the nest was a carcass of a mother hen. He touched the remains with his foot, and he saw some movement. Out from under the heap ran some baby chicks. The mother's love, here's my point, the mother's love caused the hen to give her life for her brood. My friend, that reminds me of a greater truth. That reminds me of a truth even greater than the truth of a mother's love. That reminds me of Calvary. That reminds me of Jesus Christ. That reminds me that on the cross, He gave His life that we might live. And when we're saved, we're sheltered in His arms. We're under His wings. We're safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Why? We're secure because He died. He covered us with grace and love. And that's a precious truth. Mother, here's a good verse for you. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's the book of Ephesians chapter 3. One final point and we go home. What kind of a vessel did God honor in that miracle? The answer is an empty vessel. When the sons brought the vessels back, if there would have been any oil in those vessels, maybe neighbors would have thought, let me help that person out a little bit. I'm not so sure the miracle would have occurred in that vessel. The qualification for the miracle was having an empty vessel. Here's my point. God can bless and use an empty vessel. When we're proud and puffed up and full of ourselves and have no room for God, He can't use us. But it's an empty vessel. When God is able to strip us from a pride, bring us to the end of ourselves, and make us to realize we have nothing apart from Him, then God's miracle can take place in our life. An empty vessel. Some people cannot have God's blessings because they're too filled with themselves. But it's the empty vessel that God blesses. I'd say in closing today, not only moms, but dads, but children as well. You want to know the key to real blessings? Be emptied. Be emptied of self. And let God pour His blessings into your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer.